everyone, and welcome to the Jewel Podcast. My name is Craig O'Donoghue from the West Australian newspaper, and throughout this summer, I'm bringing you all the news and interviews for everything to do with basketball in WA. It's a big, giant Happy New Year, and welcome to 2024. Hope you had a fantastic New Year's Eve and a fantastic New Year's Day. But as I mentioned in last week's episode, the podcasts around Christmas and New Year have been recorded in advance, while our wonderful producer, Josh Cable, suns himself on a beach somewhere. I'm sure he's sunburnt at this point because he probably hasn't come off the beach. So there'll be no references to what has happened on court since Christmas, because in fact, even since before Christmas, because we're recording this on December 22. So those games haven't actually been played yet. But I am pleased to say that this week's guest is Perth Wildcats import Jordan Usher, as he takes us through his basketball journey and how he's handled what has been a bit of an emotional rollercoaster ride since joining the NBL. As I said, this interview has been recorded in advance, so it was recorded before the team left for Melbourne. So today, from an interview perspective, to give you context, is December 22. Let's go and listen to Jordan Usher.
Out to Usher. Now they're going. After conceding the first 12 of the game, here's Usher with a beautiful move. Hiram Harris, and Usher gets it to go. And have a look at how pumped he is. Here's Usher playing his greatest hits.
So we are here with Perth Wildcats star Jordan Usher. Now, as I've already told people in this intro, it's actually December and they're listening to this in January. So let's play a little game called How Many Points Have You Scored in the Past Three Games? And let's just see how accurate you reckon you've been.
Let's say over the past three, 48.
48 points, average of 16 points.
Yeah.
16 points a game. My maths is pretty good at the moment, isn't it?
Yeah.
It goes okay. How have you found this year? I'd imagine you started so brilliantly and then it's gone up and down for you throughout. Like, what's it been like coming to Australia and experiencing this league?
Man, Australia's been great. I feel like it's a great brand of basketball, one that, you know, is fast-paced, kind of a, I don't know if it's the right word to say Americanized, but kind of fast-paced. You play transition, you know, if you've got an opportunity, you take it. Whereas when I was playing in Europe last year, it was a little bit slower, how you want a play to end up in a certain person's hand. Where this league, you can kind of, you know, you can go off the books a little bit and, you know, JR won't rip me in half. But it's just, it's a great league and I've been having fun, man. I've been having real fun.
So if we go back to that first game, 35 points.
Yeah.
Like, it was an amazing start. Like,
absolutely.
How do you reflect on that one?
I feel like it's, you know, a good stamp to, you know, I'd rather do that and then have, you know, a good base of what I feel like I can do and can provide. But, you know, knowing myself, that's not something I need to do nightly. And that's not something I feel like the club wants me to do nightly. They want me to make difference in energy plays. And, you know, obviously if I'm on a heater and can score 35, obviously I'll score 35. But, you know, I feel like it was good to show the fans. Maybe it hyped them up too much and they've been mad since then. But, you know, I feel like it was good. We got the win off of it. So I've been happy.
It felt a little bit like it was a blessing and a curse because the expectation rose.
Yeah, for sure. But, you know, I feel like it also helped us see the problems that we had to fix in our team. And we had that kind of that slide earlier in that, you know, I've been loving coming off the bench and being able to provide a difference in the role that I have.
So coming off the bench, like, was it a comfortable conversation to have?
Yeah, I mean, JR is an open guy. Like, JR is kind of like watching rally racing, and, you know, someone's driving really fast, and you got the guy next to you reading you off the long turn coming in 200 meters, but he's been in both seats. You know, most coaches have, I feel like, not been able to play at the level he has. Maybe they've played through high school in their youth, but he's actually a stud. Like, he was a baller himself. So I feel like it's an easier conversation to have with a guy like that. But, you know, I mean, I'm a competitor at the end of the day. No one wants to not start in basketball, especially in the professional level when I feel like I can. But I'm here to win games, and I'm here to provide what the team needs and bring that next championship to the Perth Wildcats. Like, that is truly my only intentions.
Was it a hit to the ego at all, or were you quite comfortable and did you see it coming?
Oh, I mean, it's not. It's never a hit to the ego. You have to be a kind of resilient to that type of stuff, especially in-house. Anything with my own teammates or my own coaches, I have no feelings put aside. If that's what we think is going to win us more games, then I'm all for it.
So we've seen you've had real big impacts in significant moments this year since coming off the bench as well. Have you had to, did it take any time for you to adjust to getting into the game coming off the bench as opposed to starting?
I mean, hey, sometimes it's tougher because you don't get to start with the flow of the game, but that's no, you know, I get paid to produce, so that's not really a complaint you can have. You just got to get in and try to make a difference when you can, bring some energy. That's, you know, it's not easy to hype yourself up coming off the bench, but you have to, and get in there and just make a difference, crash around. Maybe you get in a little too hype and make a errant pass that most people might not like, but hey, I'm settling in. Just give me a second. I'll get it right. I'll get it back.
So you are an energy guy.
For sure.
How do you have you handled the focus on you want to be high the entire time, but it's been times where you've been super high and the game's been just slowing down a little bit, and you've had to balance that.
Yeah, I mean, you know, that's definitely a difficult thing to balance, but it's not one that I shy from. You know, if I'm going to be energy, that's kind of how it is. When your kids are 8 years old and they're super energetic, you'd rather them do that, in my opinion, than be kind of drowsy and not fun on that Sunday morning when you're watching the telly with everybody. But, you know, having energy is a blessing, and it's also been, you know, I was a chatterbox in the classroom when I was younger, so I've always had that kind of spunk and energy about me, and I felt like I've gotten to a mode now where I can bring mostly positives from it.
It does feel like JR's looked at it and gone, you're going to do some awesome things, yep. You're going to make some mistakes, and I'll live with that because I can't have the awesome without the mistakes.
Absolutely. I'd like it to always be more awesome than it is mistakes, but, you know, I'm never going to have a perfect game. Maybe I will have one perfect game where I don't miss a shot and make the right read every single time, but that's kind of why I love basketball. It's not a sport like American football where you play offense or defense. If you make a mistake, you can honestly go get it right back in 3 seconds, or half a second, if you can steal it right back, or it gives you a chance to just make up for yourself.
So how's the standard of the game here compared to when you're in Turkey?
You know, I think those are both super high-level leagues, highly touted leagues. You know, playing against EuroLeague competition was super fun, and I think this is super fun. Definitely different play styles, but two brands of basketball that I enjoy playing in for sure.
What about from a lifestyle perspective? You're in Perth, there's beaches, it's hot, it's English-speaking, all that sort of stuff. Like, has this been an easier environment to settle into rather than being in Europe where a lot of people wouldn't have been speaking necessarily English or good English?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. Absolutely, it's easy to live somewhere where it's, and I don't want to use the wrong term because people might take it, but Americanized. Like, if I feel like I could be home, you know, this kind of feels like I've compared it to Irvine, California, if anybody listening's been there. But it's definitely easy to settle in. I like going to the beach. I like that it's summertime. I kind of got to skip winter. Got here for a little bit of cold and rain when I first landed. But since then, it's been beautiful and not many clouds in the sky. But yeah, living in Turkey was fun too. But it was also a bit of a culture change, more of a, you know, other than you guys calling the trunk the boot and different things like that. It's been easy. Living in Turkey was fun as well. But I'd say it's definitely I like the suburban beach feel of here. It's really easy to chill out and just be myself.
Your wife's here?
Yeah.
Yeah. When did she arrive?
So she came, I think, a month after I got here. So she waited until we did our Vegas trip because I was here for like 2 weeks. Then we shot back to the States to play in Vegas. So she came when we landed back from then, like 2 days when we landed back. So she's been here with me the whole time.
Did she travel to Turkey with you as well?
Yeah, she was in Turkey living in Istanbul with us. And it's just been easier for her. So when I would go on a European road trip, gone for like a couple of days, 4 days, 5 days or so, you know, you always think, hey, if she needs help with, what if the power goes out? It's in Turkish on the wall. It's not as easy as, you know, her hopping on FaceTime with me and I can kind of walk her through. I'm not a technician by any means, but it's a little easier if something were to happen in Australia and I just feel, you know, like she could handle herself. Not that she's not a capable woman, because she is. She's a genius, but it's just easier to, you know, I just feel more comfortable with her here when I'm in Melbourne versus if I'm in France and she's in Turkey.
Is she an actual genius, or is that a throwaway line?
Hey, I proclaim her as a genius. She might not like that, but she's brilliant, man. She is literally, we're two peas in a pod. She is probably not as anywhere near as energetic as me, but that wouldn't work if she was. We just match each other really well, and she's amazing, man.
Is she working over here, or is she looking for, what's she doing?
Yeah, she's doing a lot of Pilates and going to the beach and having a good time and making sure, you know, when I come home, that I've had a great practice and tells me I need to play harder and rebound better.
So she likes the game then?
Yeah, she loves basketball, man. We've been together since high school, so she's seen me play really good. She's seen me play really bad. She knows what it looks like when I'm playing with energy. She knows when I'm playing aggressive, when I'm playing passive. So she's kind of like a second coach that always tells me the honest truth when I come home.
So since high school, how old were you when you got together?
17, 16, 17, something like that. We met in math class.
So it's amazing to, from high school sweethearts to married in Australia, like, it's an amazing life you're living.
Yeah, it's crazy, man. It's a blessing and it's super fun. I wouldn't like to do it with anybody other than her. Obviously, I haven't had the chance to. Let me not say that, but she's amazing, man. It's been great.
So you look, as I said, you got plenty of energy. You're up and down, up the entire time. There was a portion of the year where I didn't think you looked happy. Like you didn't look like you're enjoying life. You didn't have the bounce in you. Was there a challenge? And it was probably after that Southeast Melbourne game where it became obvious a little bit from watching you train, just walking around. Was there some challenging moments for you around that time?
I wouldn't say challenging moments. I had a health emergency with a family member back home, but that's not. I usually don't let stuff like that get in the way of my work. But it was just, I'm a really, I guess, perfectionist, and I go home and I think a lot about, you know, when the game's over, I think over the game 100 times. Oh, I should have did this. I should have did that. And I just felt like I wasn't providing what I needed to provide for the Perth Wildcats and for what I was, you know, we have a lot of passionate fans, and they were letting me know about it, that I'm not providing what they think that I should provide. And so, you know, I take that to heart, and, you know, this is my job, and I want to be a professional. I want to be the best I can. So I don't, it doesn't sit well with me if I don't perform well. I'm not a guy that can go home and just, you know, turn on Netflix and forget about it. Like, I love basketball, and it's a full piece of me. So if I feel like I'm not at my 100% best, I definitely don't, you know, carry myself with a full smile. You know, I want to be better, and I want to get right.
So that must have hurt then, having that those fans come after you online or socially or whatever it was.
Yeah, no, I mean, I wouldn't say that it hurts. I mean, they have, you know, fans are going to be fans. They support us. They get mad. They have opinions. But I just feel like it's me personally. I want to be able to provide what I can provide. I want to have a, you know, be able to tell my son in the future that this watch your dad play basketball. He did, you know, he might not always been perfect, but he was a damn good player.
So I look back when in preseason you were dancing around the court and having a great time, and then that changed on court as well. And then there was the big moment at RSC Arena when the team lifted again and you were dancing and having a great time. Yep. Did you look at yourself and go, oh, I need to just find that, get back to what I've always been?
Oh, I mean, you know, I feel like a lot of times when I'm high energy like that, I try to, if we're getting beat by 20 points, it's not time to start dancing or it's not time to start doing anything. But I definitely will let my teammates know and coaches know I'm a pretty lively guy in practices, or if we have a team meeting or a team dinner, I'm always, you know, cracking a joke here and there, lightening the mood. But I like to, you know, I feel like I know how to be sniper energetic when it's so out, when it's such an outgoing thing, like maybe a dance move or like a hyping up the crowd. Like, there's a time and place for everything, and I want to make sure, like, you know, if there's 2 minutes left and it's a close game, it's not really time to start celebrating just yet.
So I asked Ty Webster about this on the podcast a couple of weeks ago, that he's high energy as well, but you can often spend all of your energy on other people rather than yourself, and then that doesn't leave you with anything to work with. Do you find that sometimes, that you're hyping everyone else up sometimes, that there are occasions where you look around and go, whoa, now I've got to find something for me?
I mean, you know, you always got to keep, you know what I'm saying, keep a chip on your shoulder. I say Ty's great about it. Always have belief in yourself in basketball. You have in any sport. If I played footy, I have to have, you know, I've never played footy a day in my life, but if they threw me out on the field, I would play with the most confidence I have to try to at least look like I belong out there. And, you know, we've just, like, you know, Ty's been doing this a long time. I've been doing this a long time too, not professionally, but I've been playing basketball my entire life. So this is a full piece of me that I wouldn't necessarily know who I was if I wasn't playing basketball. So having confidence in yourself is always going to be there. But being an energy guy, you know, a lot of teams are in need of a guy like that. You look at the NBA, you look at any other sports, having that energy guy can kind of change something at halftime, or, you know, make a three. And if we're down 10, a big three, and if you get a couple cheers from your teammates, someone else might lock in and say, oh, okay, I'm kind of hot now. I'm feeling it now. If I tap Keanu on the bum and say, hey, great dunk, man, you just destroyed him, that might change something for him, even though he's a super confident guy as well. But when your teammate's saying it, you know, we all got love for each other, it feels a little different.
Take me back to the moment where your name gets mentioned in Greece as being chased after. It would have been, I would imagine, made you feel good that another team's talking about you, but it would have provided you with a moment where you have to walk into the office and go, hi, everyone.
Yeah, I mean, no, I don't think that just happens in basketball. You know, teams have always asked things like questions, you know, your agent gets calls, but that's just, okay, that's okay, cool. I'm trying to get a championship here. You know, that's a discussion for a different time.
It's different, though, when the agent gets a phone call as opposed to the coach actually going into the media and talking about overseas. And that puts a different sort of pressure on, I would have thought.
Yeah, I mean, it's not really a certain type of pressure. It's not like I'm going up to JR or Danny and saying, hey, I want to go to Greece. It wasn't anything like that. I guess maybe they had given them a call to ask about I'm honestly as informed as you guys are. It wasn't anything that I was putting any pressure in to investigate it. So it was just like, hey, no, I'm playing for Perth. That's it.
Take me through your life in America. You're a Georgia boy. Growing up, family, school, what was your life like?
Just, you know, I got a superhero mom who did the most, worked a couple jobs to make sure I was always ready to play basketball, and, you know, put me in little summer camps at the rec center that I could hang out with friends and stuff. Used to run track, played football, American football, played basketball. Started only focusing on basketball probably around freshman year of high school. And then, you know, from there, went to Los Angeles to play at USC, then came back home and finished college in Atlanta at Georgia Tech. And man, my life's been super fun. I've had the same close-knit friend group for like since sixth grade, seventh grade. So those are still my boys. Made new friends, new best friends along the way from colleges. And it's been pretty much just basketball. I like to have a good time. Like, I love people that like to laugh, man. I like to laugh. I like to hang out. I like to play video games, you know. Pretty much just a dude. I'm just a dude, man, that just likes basketball, loves basketball, like watching movies. And that's pretty much all my life's been, bro, trying to play basketball and see how far it could take me.
So other sports you mentioned, what were you good at other than basketball? Did you have to make a choice at some point?
Yeah, I was super good at track and field, but I never wanted to do that for a long time. I was good at the 300 hurdles and all the jumping. I did the triple jump, the long jump, and the high jump. Probably the high jump wasn't my best, but definitely triple jump and long jump I was pretty killer in. And then football, I played quarterback, actually. So I played quarterback, and I also played defensive end. So I played both ways, and I love football, man, especially being from the South. Like, football was great, and it was fun to play. But in America, you kind of have to, at least in the South, you have to decide to play one or the other once you get in high school, because football season comes first, starts in, like, August, and ends around November, December. And basketball season starts around October. So I would have had to miss like the first quarter to a half of basketball season. And I was like, no, I don't want to give that up. I definitely want to play basketball.
The skills from football and being a quarterback, having the ball in your hands, is there anything around that, whether it's vision or whether it's passing or whether it's anything that you are able to take into your basketball?
Hey, I mean, to be completely honest, at the young age, so I played up until eighth grade. When I'm playing quarterback at that age, and I played some wide receiver as well, if we had to try to throw it deep because I was a bit taller than the other kids. But honestly, there wasn't many passes being thrown. So vision, I can't give a credit to the vision because we're so young. It wasn't many. It was more run plays or kind of, you know, QB options where I can run, just hike the ball and run with it myself. But yeah, I mean, one thing I'll say is toughness. You know, my first couple years of taking basketball serious, I was kind of always energy, always aggressive, maybe get an over the back foul, trying to jump over someone's back, just running in like it was football. You definitely had to, in middle school, you definitely had to make the flip back from basketball to football after you playing. But, you know, I feel like maybe just toughness and just will to compete.
You've had a crack at trying to get to the NBA through the summer league and through college as well. How close did you get from a conversational point of view with people, and what was the basic feedback for you?
I feel like I was pretty much on a verge guy that would have had a chance. I feel like the NBA spacing favors me, to maybe other people disagree if they're listening, but I feel like the spacing and the openness of the court definitely favors me. I enjoyed playing, you know, summer league. We played against the G League at night with NBA rules this preseason. You know, it's good. I think another guy like Alex, he's going to thrive in that because of the spacing, because of the defensive 3 seconds, that if he gets that mismatch, he's not going to get double teamed, and he can, you know, if he gets switched on a 6 foot guard, he's going to dunk on him. Like, so, you know, but I feel like I was close. But it's just a decision you have to make for yourself of, are you going to grind out through the G League or on a two-way, or are you going to play somewhere where you know you're going to, let's say, get minutes and be able to contribute to winning a championship?
So that's a real challenge for most players. They have to make a call, and it's a big call on what you do for your career. How did you make those decisions? Who did you talk to around? What was best for you?
I mean, I feel like I kind of just went with my own heart and, you know, went with the decision that I felt like, you know, I could still prove myself on a national scale and prove myself to people when playing basketball. I mean, it's always kind of bet on yourself type of thing, and I just want to be able to be in a position where I have the opportunity to show what I can do.
Everyone keeps the dream alive for as long as possible. Yeah. Summer league and those sorts of things. Yeah. Is that your plan for as long as you can do it?
No, I mean, I've been invited for summer league for multiple teams this year, but I don't think I would do it. To be honest, I might do some team camps and like private workouts with teams, but I don't think I'll do summer league.
Why not?
I just don't feel like decisions are made there, to be fair.
And that would it also be a place where if you go there too many times, suddenly they look at all your negatives the entire time?
Oh, no. I just feel like, you know, I don't feel like even if you go out there and score 40 points nightly in the summer league, I don't feel like that summer league performance is what they're making a decision off of. I think in their mind, they will already have a decision made for you. And I don't think you going to summer league, I think maybe they can say, let's watch further, or we're not interested. But I don't think a decision per se will be made in summer league. Now, maybe if you are like Alex, obviously he will play summer league because he'll get drafted and will play for his team. They might say, oh, oh, he's got a great feel for the mid-range. Let's try him out. Like, I fully believe Alex will go. They'll tell Alex to go to summer league, shoot the ball 25 times, get all your misses out, see what's comfortable. It'll be like a test period. And I feel like that's what it is for a lot of teams.
As someone who has aspirations, like having Alex here and looking into the stands, and you got scouts at training, scouts at games. Like, is that really beneficial for someone like yourself?
I'd say it's beneficial. You know, if, like, the NBA is like anything. If they want you, they're going to find you. They're going to give you the chance. Obviously, years work that's put into it. Like, if they give you a training camp invite, you know, those aren't, in my opinion, hard to come by. You know, it's something I've turned down. But it's just, you go to get it, and having the eyes of Alex, being able to watch him develop is something I like more than looking up and seeing a scout in the stands. Because regardless if they're there in person, they can watch your film. But I just like the opportunity for him to, you know, I think him getting a championship here will show a lot for him to get the number one pick, because I know he really wants to be number one. And I think showing that as an 18-year-old playing against grown men and contributing will be big for him.
Have you been surprised by what he's been able to do as an 18-year-old kid?
I think I'm just more in admiration of his maturity with the situation. Like, there's a lot of kids that if you put them in his position, they'd run around with a huge chip on their shoulder. And, you know, because, I mean, let's be honest, he's going to make $20 million minimum next year. He's going to sign a three-year, $50 million, $40 million contract guaranteed. So he knows this, but he doesn't run around and act like it. He works hard at practice. He doesn't take a lot of times off. He lifts hard. And so, you know, he wants to not just be a pick and guy that's forgotten about. He wants to be a stud. So I that's the part that I really appreciate about him.
He's got his parents living in WA with him. You mentioned your mum just before, working two or three jobs. Yep. Like, what was life growing up? That's not an easy environment to be in.
No, I mean, it's not the easiest, but you look back, as long as, I'll keep it the same with my kids, like, as long as you got a loving mother and someone there, whether it's at school or whether it's your coach, to put some love on you and appreciation and let you know that you can truly be what you want to be. If you want to go to school, if you want to, you know, if you want to be the best mechanic in Atlanta, like, someone would have told me I could be the best mechanic. If I want to be a lawyer, I truly felt like I could have been what I wanted to, even though if it wasn't the greatest situation ever. Sure, I feel like I didn't miss anything. I still had love for my mom. Like, as long as you got a loving mother, you can do anything, man. So I didn't feel like, we always used to play board games together. She was the best, man. She still is. I mean, she's not so much my, like, I'm not a really mommy's boy, but she's the best. Like, she was the best mom.
And dad, brothers, sisters, anyone else fighting around?
I mean, yeah, but, you know, it was more mom just doing it all.
So do you miss at this time of year, especially around Christmas, New Year period?
For sure. I would love to see my mom, but, you know, it's a 24-hour flight, so I doubt she'll come and surprise me. But, you know, yeah, I'll get to see her soon, though.
As I said, we're recording this in late December, and it's January by the time that this goes to air, so who knows where the team will be in the ladder. Yep. But it feels like this group, at this point, before you head away, has really gelled, and you're back in the position where you would feel like you're going to challenge Melbourne United and Jack Jumpers and Sydney Kings for the title, is the way the ladder is at the moment.
Especially when you get to talking about series of games, I like us a lot. I like the fact that we're figuring out ways to keep Bryce open. We're figuring out ways to play off each other, play off of him, ride his highs, and then not let, you know, a team like we're about to play Melbourne is going to try to face guard him the whole time, and to not let him, that let them try to take him out of the game by being annoying and, in my eyes, not play real defense, kind of the Steph Curry defense, how they like to just not let him touch the ball at all, try to eliminate that. And just, I feel like we're really gelling as a team, and everyone knows exactly what to do, where their moments are, when they should shoot it and when they shouldn't shoot it. And, you know, I think we're just going to get more and more in sync. I'm excited.
Well, look, thank you very much for your time. I really appreciate it. Hopefully the rest of the season goes really well.
Absolutely. Thanks so much, man.
Thanks to Jordan Usher there. The Wildcats are off to New Zealand this week for a game against the Breakers on Sunday, January 7. That will be the last of their four games on the road. It's an early one too, with the time difference between us and New Zealand, meaning tip-off is at 11 a.m. So bear that in mind so you don't miss it. It's not an afternoon game for us to watch. Perth Lynx have a second successive game in Townsville. That match will be on Wednesday, January 3 at 5:30 p.m. Then they are back at home against Adelaide on Sunday, January 7. That game starts at 3 p.m. So that's it for this week's episode of the Jewel Podcast. Thank you very much to Jordan Usher. Remember, you can read all of your basketball news in the West Australian newspaper and at thewest.com.au. We're back to our normal mode of recording next week, another episode of the Dribble Podcast.